And I would like to answer anybody's questions that you have. I've probably already heard them from atheist evolutionists, so even though I'm a layperson, I'll betcha I can say something about it.
Thank you, Mark, for your presentation. Let's give it a round. And we will take some time for a few questions. So, the men will be here in a few minutes to what we have as a free will offering to help support this ministry. So if you feel led to do that, give that to the men as they come forward. But in the meantime, think about the questions you might have, and I'll bring the microphone around so we can record the questions too.
Well, first I would like to thank you for your presentation. And mine is not really a question. It is more a piece of information, since you were talking about the probability. If you pick up any book written in English and try to sort all the words in order, you will find the word the, T-H-E, the most used word. The second most used word that you will find will be used half as many times. The third word will be used a third as many times, and so on and so on. You can do the same thing in any language and you will find the same thing. How do you figure out that to be? This true?
Yeah, isn't it interesting that we find things like that, like the golden ratio and so on in nature? It's interesting that it would even be in language that you find this kind of, it sounds to me almost like the spiral of a snail, doesn't it? You know, it's in terms of the probabilities. Fascinating. I guess I should let Heinz choose.
So one of the questions would be, if it takes entropy to be able to draw the life here as we know it, and then we see it as something that was before the fall, how does that become rectified, say, when we're looking beyond this life here and now?
Well, I don't see it as a problem. I see it as more of a solution. I see entropy as a good thing. You know, when we can't create our perpetual motion machines, maybe we consider it a bad thing. But actually, I think that everything about the law is something we need that's good for us. Because I see it in so many places. But probabilities can certainly be altered by God. And that's actually the promise that we have, is that he's going to restore us. You know, we're going to go back to dust, but then he's going to restore us. So I don't know. That's my view on it. I really don't think that it's connected with the fall, except that as God would withdraw his blessing from it and then let entropy just go. In that sense, I would agree.
My understanding is that the word sustain.
Yeah, he's a sustainer. Yeah, I think his sustain, I think entropy would do more damage to us if he didn't. Yeah.
Any other questions out there? Mark does have a very extensive book and DVD table and some pamphlets, so if some of those topics interest you, peruse that table and of course the others as well. If I see no other questions, we'll close this out, and then one question back here.
Mark, have you thought any very much about the Fibonacci code at all?
The Fibonacci code, have you thought
about that? Isn't that kind of what we were talking about a little bit? You're talking about the ratio? The golden ratio. Yeah, I think that is just one of the amazing things about math that I love. That, you know, it's an expression of the order of God. I don't know if you're familiar with the Mandelbrot set and some of the stuff that Dr. Lyle has talked about the amazing patterns when you get in really deep into mathematics. It's mind-blowing. It's a never-ending journey with the software that he wrote to go into the Mandelbrot set. You can go deeper and deeper and deeper into it, and it's just as amazing and just as beautiful. No matter how you go, there's no end to it. It's such a picture of the majesty of God, and I really think that mathematics, you know, embodies a lot of his character. I think it's the beauty of God. That's why I love math. Not that I do that much math in my work or anything, but I've always loved math. Yes?
I had a question. You mentioned in your presentation about the arrow of time, how you're always able to tell how time progresses because you can see how entropy increases.
Yes.
For people that, you know, have a view of a longer history of time on the earth, you can see the degradation of life. You can see how the creation groans.
Yes.
As time goes on, you see things struggling. The vibrance of life, it's just not there like it used to be. You can see glories of life, yeah, you know, that are hidden in the fossil record.
Absolutely.
Things that could survive back when, you know, large beasts that have mouths that just don't seem like they could ingest enough energy in order to preserve themselves, that kind of thing. And nowadays we struggle with every ailment that seems to come around. Do you see some kind of a clock, some kind of a reference to where we could say, you know, there's going to become a point where life just can't continue as it has?
I recommend John Sanford's book, Genetic Entropy, on that question, because he actually addresses that a little bit. If you didn't believe in God, that book would be very dark and discouraging. The fact of the matter is that population geneticists overall agree that the human genome is in decay. That's the facts. That's the reality that even secular scientists recognize. Evolution says it has to be getting better, it has to be improving, but it's not. You know, it's in decay. And his point was that because mutations are so pervasive and because they're harmful, even though they're, what happens is that they're so small, most of them, they get hidden into the genome. The thing doesn't die until they accumulate, but by the time it presents itself, then that person, that creature will die. And so basically our genome is being contaminated over time. Maybe that's not the right word, it's in decay. And so the human race couldn't possibly go on for all that many more generations. I think he was estimating something like 100 before the humans would have to be extinct. This is actually what happens to extinct creatures, is their genome goes into decay until finally they just can't support themselves anymore. They're so feeble and fragile. But thanks be to God, he's the one that designed us in the first place, and we have no fear of the human race only being able to last 100 generations, or maybe a lot less, I don't know. But they debate a little bit about the mutation rate, but they all agree that it's going downhill.
Okay, well, thank you, Mark, again for the presentation and the Q&A session, and you'll be available at the table afterwards.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
So let's give him a hand.
Thank you.
So, Rick, if we can show the last slide, number 6. I just want to introduce the speaker who will be here next month, and that is Dr. Rob Carter from Creation Ministries International. And he is a scientist, a science in biology, and genetic. And so we're going to have him speak on those topics when he comes here the end of January. So we got another 6-7 weeks before the next actual meeting here of the Apologetics Forum. So those are some of the details on what he'll be talking about. He'll talk about the fatal flaws of evolution, you know, why evolution doesn't work, why evolution is not supported by good science at all. And he'll go into that. He's also one of the scientists who wrote that book, Evolution's Achilles Heels. You know, we have that book out there too. And it's written by a number of creation scientists who have PhD degrees in some different discipline of science. and they each explain why evolution it is not supported by good science from their discipline of expertise. And so he's going to speak on that. And then, as you know from earlier, he's going to do a mini conference here on a Saturday morning from 9 till noon, and he'll give two different talks on genetics, which is his area of expertise. And as I said, Carter is involved in many of these creation movies that are coming out in the theaters, and so he's a very respected scientist with CMI, and you'll want to come and hear him speak. If you look on the website, you know, all the details are there where he's scheduled to speak, but he does have some availability still. So if you have a church where you would like to have him speak at your church at one of these possible times, let me know, and we'll see if we can make that happen. Okay, so that's January the 22nd, or 26th. And just to summarize, there's a flyer on the back table which has a description, more details of what he's going to speak on. There are also flyers on the back table of Genesis, Paradise Lost. That is a creation video documentary on the first few chapters of Genesis, showing in a secular theater. So you'll want to go online, look at genesismovie.com to see where you can buy tickets for. That's next Monday. And then the one on alien intrusion, which is how do we explain UFOs? Are they real or can they be explained by the Bible? And that's put on by CMI, Creation Ministries International. The president of that organization, Gary Bates, actually wrote a book on that topic, and now they're turning it into a movie, and that's going to be shown in theaters all across the nation, hundreds of different theaters. Okay, so the flyers have the upcoming speakers and the videos, the movies coming out, they're all on the back table, and there's some other brochures and flyers there. If you're interested, just pick one up and take it with you, share it with your church, whatever. Okay, that's about it. So I'm going to close in a word of prayer, and then you're free to peruse the resource tables and get some refreshments too in the kitchen. Father, we just come to you just to thank you for this time. We thank you for Mark and his ministry. We pray that would bear fruit, that the seeds that have been planted here even would awaken some people, and those that have watched through live streaming would have awakened some people about the importance of sharing our faith with others, because we have the science that supports the biblical view. Evolution does not have the science, and we just want to get that word out. Thank you now for this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.